Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Hey, real quick, want to give a shout out to James up in Stoneville, North Carolina. He's a friend of the show. Hell, he's a friend of the family now. We were able to go ahead and help his family recently save more than $1,200 a month. Really think about this. My man Robbie didn't save $1,200 one time. He's going to save it each and every month, all because he went to savewithconrad.com. He left us a 5-star review earlier this week, and he said this: from the first phone call with Christian, all the hard work Diane put in, Jennifer taking time to explain things and help me understand where we were at with the deal, right up to Steve helping me get this survey through, nothing but professionalism all around. Dealing with First Family has helped us to the point we've cut $1,200 a month off our bills. I can't say enough about the team Conrad has assembled. I highly recommend First Family to anyone looking to purchase or refinance their home. Thanks to Conrad and the entire First Family team. No, thank you, James, for the great review, and congratulations on saving $1,200 a month. And oh, by the way, you can skip your next two house payments. It's real, folks. SaveWithConrad.com can help you. We're licensed in more than 40 states, but if you've got credit card debt, if you're looking to save money on your monthly payments, if you're looking to pay your house off faster, or even buy a house with no money down, SaveWithConrad.com is your hookup. Holler if you hear me. That's SaveWithConrad.com. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender. And oh, by the way, you don't need perfect credit. You don't need money out of your pocket. What are you waiting for? Find out how much money you can save for free at SaveWithConrad.com. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson here to tell you a little bit about AdFreeShows.com. People often ask me, what exactly is AdFree Shows all about? Well, I'm glad you asked. Not only do you get early ad-free access to all of my podcasts starting at just $9, but you also get many of your other favorite wrestling podcasts like Click This with Kevin Nash, Gentleman Villain with William Regal, Oh You Didn't Know with Brian James, and others, but yes, still just $9 a month. That's 14 podcasts in total every single week, early with no ads. That's like 20 cents an episode. And yes, you can listen to them all directly through Apple Podcasts or through your regular podcast apps. How easy is that? Want some more cheese on that Whopper? AdFreeShows.com has literally tens of thousands of hours worth of bonus content, including fantastically popular series like Eric Fires Back, Title Chase, and Strictly Business. And I don't know why this is a thing, but there's even more than 40 Ask Conrad episodes waiting for you at AdFreeShows.com. We've got monthly Zoom chats with all the podcast hosts, live watch-alongs with wrestling legends, and more. Come on now. See for yourself what thousands of other wrestling fans have already discovered. That's AdFreeShows.com. It's the best value in wrestling today. Check it out right now. AdFreeShows.com. You'll be glad you did. Hey, it's Conrad Thompson, and you're listening to DDP Snake Pit. And of course, we couldn't do it without the Hall of Famer, the most positive person in the whole biz, ladies and gentlemen, Diamond Dallas Page. DDP, what's going on, man? How are you?
Well, Snake, I just want to explain to people that the reason why Snake couldn't be here last week, we had Darby on, was because he couldn't talk. And, you know, like the old Jake the Snake just wouldn't have showed. Like, you know, I can't speak, right? Jake was sitting here waiting to do it. And I was like, Jake, you can't even talk. Well, I didn't show he's squeaking it out to me. And then today he's on the road because we'd like to film like, you know, two shows in a row.
Right.
So we got bogged up because we're both on the road now. So he won't be here this week or next week, but that's the reason. Then he'll be back again. We're actually going. When I leave here, actually tomorrow, Jake and his wife, Cheryl, and my wife, Paige, we're going up to Boston to Fenway to see Aerosmith.
Oh, wow.
So, but he first sent it to me. He said, dude, you want to go see Aerosmith? I'm like, hell yeah. And he goes, okay. After I come in, he goes, all right, got to get your tickets up, and I'll see you in Boston. I go, Boston? What do you mean, Boston? He goes, well, it's in Fenway.
Oh, my.
Like I got to know that. But, you know, Aerosmith, man, I love those guys. And, you know, I love what Steven Tyler did with his country thing. I thought he got a number one, you know, record out of it, the whole deal. So, I'm excited to go up there and spend some time, quality time with Jake. And Cheryl, I haven't seen her. You know, they got together, back together about a year or so ago and kept it under the, you know, checking it out. And they're doing great. So,
what a great story. I love to hear these big success stories. And man, you're working on another one. I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, but there's been some big news in your life recently with a friend of ours. Can you give us any updates about Mr. Bagwell?
Yeah, you know, Bagwell is he's his own animal. that's the best way I can explain it. And for the last year and a half, he'd been trying to get, you know, he really, it's kind of like Jake. Jake really wanted to get clean. At the time, he didn't know it. And it took him getting up and getting living at the, you know, at the crib and being there and really starting to believe, man, maybe I could do this. Maybe I can really turn my life around. And at some point, even though Jake fell down, he was that shame thing that has to do with addiction. It's very heavy. And I didn't really understand it until we really spent that year and a half together at Accountability Crib. But he always wanted, I knew he wanted to get, he didn't want to be that guy anymore. And that's where Marcus, like, you'll never even hear me call him Buff anymore, because Buff can be an asshole. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be associated with someone who isn't on the up and up. Mm-hmm. You know, years ago, I changed the way I eat because I wanted to get just really healthy, good food in my body. At some point, I started doing it with my friends too. Like, if you're negative, I got no time for you.
Yeah.
Now, if you're in trouble, like someone like Jake was, or Scott was, or Marcus, you know, still is, I'm going to help you as long as you're putting the work in. But if you continue to fall and there is no remorse, you know what I mean? It's kind of like someone does something, now they're going to go to the joint. They're going to go to the jail. The judge is looking for one thing first. Remorse, like, I don't want to do this. I didn't want to, you know, I fucked up, you know? So with Marcus, he knew that I could help his brand by people saying, oh, Marcus is, you know, staying with DDP now. And it immediately upped his bookings. Mm-hmm. He got way more phone calls. His price went up. You know, things started, and he was doing good. And then he'd slip and fall, and then he'd get back up, he'd slip and fall. And then, because what we did is we put him in this show that we shot called, and it's a docuseries. It's not a reality show, because reality shows are bullshit.
Right.
Reality shows are, you know, okay, you do this, and you do that, and blah, blah, blah. Like, that's, to me, is not reality.
Of course not.
Wrestling is the first reality show, if you really want to put reality shows in scope, taking real things that happen in real life, and then you work them into the storyline, you know? But with Marcus, like, he didn't think he was an addict. He didn't think, you know, he had to lose any kind of, you know, getting any kind of shape, even though his leg is really bad. He didn't really think, he thought it was just some of his shortcomings from injuries. And the bottom line is, he got on that scale. The first time he got on that scale in the house, he was 268. And I go, get on that scale again. Is that right? And it was. You know, Marcus, I'm used to seeing him like at 235, 240 max. So, you know, his weight was off and he wasn't eating good. And, you know, he had to go away every weekend. So every weekend, either do good or bad. And towards the latter part of it, because of some screw ups, he started to do much better. And then we got done with it. He had, you know, he finished strong. And then he got caught on a bender and he just fell off the rails. And like, this is where, if you're not ready to get your shit together, because we're not rehab people. We help a lot of people who need that, but that's not what we do. And we don't want to do that because it's so much different than helping someone get their health back. It's really hard and you need to be a bit of a professional. And we had a, you know, an intervention for him and it was heavy. It was heavy. You know, it's about building habits and, you know, reps. Like, everything is reps, from wrestling in front of people to playing the guitar to throwing a football, catching a football. It's all reps. How many reps can you get in? How many doses can you get in to help reboot your brain? That's the important part.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com. Well, there's been a reboot in wrestling as well. This past weekend, we saw quite a bit of wrestling. Of course, WWE put on their first mega show in the UK since, I guess, SummerSlam 1992. That's certainly the vibe and feel that I had going in. And then, of course, on Sunday, AEW put together All Out that people are still talking about for a lot of reasons. Today, we're going to focus on the WWE because this show had been built and hyped in a way that, I don't know, modern WWE pay-per-views didn't feel as big. You know, this isn't a WrestleMania. This isn't a SummerSlam. This isn't a Royal Rumble. It's not one of those heritage shows that we all grew up on. This was a brand new concept. You know, we've never even heard of Clash at the Castle. And a lot of people, when it was first announced, thought, okay, this has to be a Drew McIntyre featured show. Much like, you know, SummerSlam 92 at Wembley Stadium. It was the British Bulldogs Day. And the world title went on somewhere in the middle of the card with Warrior and Randy Savage. But the main event was all about Bulldog. And I'm curious, this is a guy that you spent a lot of time with, and he's going to be in the main event. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do, I thought, hey, let's run through the whole card on the actual pay-per-view, because there was a pre-show match. There's only six matches on the pay-per-view. And that just by itself lets me know, okay, this is a little different. You compare and contrast with the pre-show, there were seven matches, but with the pre-show on the AEW show this weekend, 15 matches, Dallas, and seven matches is a big difference, right?
You know, when I was watching it and I realized how much time was right with the girls match.
Yeah.
Like, right opening up and not taking weight, because these girl athletes are as good as the guys. I mean, they really are. I mean, you know, Bianca Blair, is that her last name?
Yeah, Bianca Belair.
Belair. Now, I know I don't want to say that wrong. She is a stud.
Yes.
Like, I literally remember going down to down and working with the kids down there in NXT. And then I saw a video that they did on her, like, wow, man, like that woman, like I see the push that she's got. It came off of her athletic ability. And she's beautiful. Doesn't work. That doesn't hurt. But she's got all the tools, and they've been running with her for a while, you know. And you know, you notice that, you know, she was with Asuka and Alexa Bliss, who are both great athletes in their own right. And what a great threesome to put together. And then to see Io and Bayley and Dakota Kai. Now, when Dakota Kai, I don't know if we were talking with John when that happened. I was blown away that Tony Khan didn't pick her up right away. Mm-hmm. Because she's beautiful. She can work her ass off. She's been in the business for a long time now, you know, and she spent a lot of time down there. I thought they were going to bring her up long before that. So I was sort of glad that because she needed to go to the show. Like, she really needed to go up there and get there. And Bayley coming back, those women put on a hell of a show. And this is the way, when you're booking, especially a show like this, you want something hot in the beginning, mm-hmm. and of course hot at the end. Well, there was some hot stuff that went all through this. When it got to, like, maybe I wasn't paying attention to the time, I'm thinking, because all of a sudden it's the main event, and I realized, did I miss something? Is there something after this?
Yes.
You know, they're not going to put anything after this. And then I realized, holy shit, 6 matches. Like, I don't remember a pay-per-view that had 6 matches on. Do you?
Yeah, it's probably a handful, but I'm with you. It's normally something where it's like a Royal Rumble where you know it's going to be a really long match.
That's a different animal.
Yeah, yes.
That's a different animal because your one match is friggin'
over an hour.
An hour.
Yeah.
You know, but so many times, like, I can remember being in pay-per-views and having like 8 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, with entrances, you know, and the finishes.
Yes.
So to me, right off the bat, that tells me the guy who's running this pay-per-view is a worker.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, let's look at the match times. Your starting match, the ladies match, Damage Control taking on Belair, Bliss, and Asuka, goes 18 minutes and 44 seconds. Once upon a time, the ladies didn't get that kind of time. Here they did. The next match with Gunther and Sheamus, 1933, Liv Morgan.
And that was a brawl.
Yeah,
and you know, you saw that was a brawl. That wasn't like high spot. They were completely different matches. The girls had a lot of unbelievable spots. Like, those chicks are unbelievable athletes. But these two fuckers went out and beat the shit out of each other.
I do want to ask you about Gunther. I'm curious what a guy like you thinks of Gunther. But before we get there, let's circle back to the ladies for a minute. Bayley has been on the shelf for a while. We know when we were about to be in front of fans again and the COVID era, if you will, with no fans was coming to an end. The report we got was they're having everybody, you know, work off some ring rust again and get ready. And she got injured in training and has been on the shelf this entire time. And now she's back. And I'm sure it's one of those deals where, as a performer, I've never been a performer like this, but I would assume, you know, cause we've always heard, hey, you don't want to lose your spot, brother. So you work through injuries right. And things like that. So she has to go get surgically repaired. So that's not an option for her. So when you come back, you got to be a little nervous. Like, hey, am I going to pick up right where I left off? Man, Bayley has just hit it out of the park. Can we agree on that?
Dude, it's like she wrestled 3 weeks ago.
Yes.
2 weeks ago. It was like she went out there. That girl, I mean, if you go all the way back to how they brought her in, you know, with, you know, like the biggest, just so happy to be here. And that was a shoot, I'm sure, to a certain degree. But that girl is going through one transit. Like, she's almost Jericho-ish with some of her reinventions of herself, you know. And I love it. And she knows who she is.
Yep.
And she went out there. And if she was doubting herself in any way, I never saw it, you know. And I think having Dakota Kai there with her was a big deal, too, because, you know, they worked up together, you know, and Bayley got that pop way sooner, you know.
I loved it. Thought it was fantastic. Think she's done a great job. I'm with you. I think Bianca Belair is going to be a mega star. Really excited to see Alexa Bliss getting her flowers. And I think Asuka has been maybe one of the unsung heroes of this division for a long time. And I know we're not necessarily comparing, you know, companies here, but when you take a look at this women's roster in the WWE, man, it feels like they've got such a head start on everybody. And for years and years, you know, the women's division was, well, not what it is now, but from the Revolution to now, they've got a ton of talented ladies there. And I know for whatever reason, you know, people didn't perceive that the all women's pay-per-view was a big success, but I think they could try that again. They are loaded for bear right now.
And they really pushed that huge, like before anybody ever even thought that that was even possible.
Yes.
You know, what are you talking about? Well, when you've got athletes like freaking the queen wasn't even on the show.
Yeah.
You know, and she's one of the greatest athletes in that company, period. And I love the way they work the women, you know, and they have earned their spot. Becky Lynch wasn't, you know, a part of this thing. You know, it's, she's one of the greatest performers of all time, as you know, man or woman, you know. So, you know, I was really, I think this card from top to bottom really stacked up perfectly. And the way it, and the way they finished it, you know, with the false finishes, we'll get to that. Let's go to the next match. I mean, Sheamus, who I love.
Gunther and Sheamus.
I don't know Gunther, but he kind of reminds me of a foreign Dick Murdoch.
Okay.
You know, Dick Murdoch was a brawler, but Dick Murdoch could do anything.
Oh yeah.
I mean, he really could do anything. So, you know, I kind of like it, you know, I like the match. I like the, you know, I like the brawling technique because it brought something else to the show. You know, you don't want to see the same flip, 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 flip. You don't want to see that. I saw, they were telling a story there, and that's why I believe Triple H gave the time to everyone, like, tell a story. Just don't go out there and do high spots. Tell stories.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
And they did. I think Gunther is a huge star. I was excited to see him get the win. Obviously, both he and Sheamus are international stars. I'm with you. It would have been cool to see Becky Lynch there too. But somebody had to get the win. And at this point, Sheamus is a made man in WWE. I was excited to see Gunther get the win. What do you think? I know you don't know Gunther, but you've seen some of his stuff. What do you think his ceiling is? Do you think he could be the guy?
I think that remains to be seen. You know, I think he's in a hell of a spot right now. And it's all how they build you.
Yes.
You know, you don't want that rocket up your ass, you know, because if you don't deliver, it goes down as fast as it goes up. And I think he's in the perfect spot here. And a guy like Sheamus is like, you just said that, the made man. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get up to another guy who's a made man, Seth Rollins. How many jobs did he do? None of them hurt him.
Yeah.
Not Cody beat him three times and he lost plenty of times before that. None of those jobs hurt him. They built him because we'll talk about that cat after. Let's go to the next one. Liv and Shayna Baszler. Now I was calling Shayna. I'll tell you what, That's another girl that I worked out and spent some time with down at NXT. When I say worked out, doing DDPY. And she, and if I'm doing four classes, she was at four, minimum of three of them, because she's an athlete who's beat up her body being, you know, an MMA chick. So she's the real deal. And knowing the way you think, you know, like, and it goes right down to the finish that we saw at the end here. You think, you know, like, Drew's going over. We'll come back to that. When I look at Shayna Baszler and Liv Morgan, I see Liv is really over, sells awesome, great athlete. Love seeing her in the spot she's at, but I expected Shayna to take her out. And that's not what happened. And I thought they had a hell of a match. And I thought the thing that makes Baszler so good, again, she can do the job night after night. It's never going to hurt her because she's that good.
She's believable.
And she's, I don't want to wrestle her.
No.
You know, she's a badass, man. And she's a great chick behind the scenes too. She's a worker, man. She is a worker. And that loss, you know, didn't hurt her at all. And you came in there thinking, ooh, this could be it. And you always think you want to know something, and just to show you, you don't, they're going to go the other way sometimes. But I think this whole card, and the people who didn't like the card or had their little opinions, they don't really know what the fuck they're looking at. You know, they don't understand pure storytelling to a match. And the girls did a really great job.
Totally agree. Next up, we've got something that people are going to be talking about for a long, long time. It's Edge and Rey Mysterio taking on Judgment Day, which in this case was Finn Balor and Damian Priest. They had Rhea on the outside, so that meant that Edge and Rey had Dominic Mysterio on the outside. I love this pairing of Rhea Ripley, Damian Priest, and Finn Balor, the Judgment Day positioning. I could appreciate that Edge moved along, but now that's a cool story. I don't know if you had a chance to see the A&E biography on Rey Mysterio, but I'm going to recommend everybody listening go out of their way to watch it. Such an unbelievable career. And
unbelievable.
You can't help but pull for Dominic Mysterio as a result of that. And it feels like the timing for what we're going to see and as part of this match couldn't have been better, especially fresh off of that A&E piece. What'd you think of the performers? What'd you think of the match? And then we'll talk about the big story at the end.
Well, you know, going into, I got to go back to before it even starts. When I saw Edge with Damian and Rhea, and it was the Judgment Day, I called them up, you know, and left them a message, and we started texting each other. Like, Edge makes me, and he's from my era, but he makes me want to watch.
Yes.
Because he just has that magnetism. And it was, he gave me the greatest compliment when he first came back, because I had just done my thing in AEW, you know, my last match, and did, you know, and had a hell of a freaking comeback and an ending to the match. And when I saw him come out there and just go out there like he never left and took a beating, you know, on top of that with his body. And I texted him and I was like, dude, you are out there. You're killing it. And he goes, he saw what I was doing. He said he put me over in it, which was nice of him.
Yeah.
But you're my inspiration. That's what he said. Hell, he goes, you're 15 years older than I am. And but he went out. I went out there and did it with smoke and mirrors. He went out there and did it with raw Edge greatness. And when they turned on him and brought in Finn, first of all, Finn has had just about every title you can have.
Yes.
But he's never got to the next spot. Why booking because it sure as fuck ain't talent.
I agree.
That cat, like when I would watch him come out when he would do the deal with the paint.
The demon, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. And the crowd. The first time I saw it at NXT, I was like, wow. And then you go to takeovers. And when he came out on one of those takeovers, I don't want to say it could have been Undertaker, but it could have been Undertaker, you know, with that kind of response that he got and having that demon thing. It was unbelievable. And I'm always like, why aren't they letting him get to the next spot? And that's the overall booking. But when I saw Edge go down and then Finn come in, I'm like, okay, this is one of the coolest threesomes since the Freebirds.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, it's that cool.
Yes.
And then for Edge, now Edge has three, you know, basically three people to fight. Even though Rhea is a chick, Rhea is as bad as any fucking dude out there.
Yes.
And she reminds me of China to a certain degree. Because I love the makeup, the clothing, everything. And Damian Priest, I met him at AEW. I want to say it was All In. And we were talking, and I just really liked him. And I'm thinking, this kid's got it. Like, I knew he had it then. And then I saw him in NXT. And I'm like, this could be a bigger shot for you because, you know, and they are using him. He has stepped up. Like, this whole team has stepped up big time. And I love the fact of working in the storyline of the whole Rey Mysterio and Dominic thing. The match was, let's just go from the entrance. When Edge, everybody got a huge pop. But when Edge came out, that place became unglued. And you can tell by people are, they're not doing this. They're doing this with their arms. Like, they're going crazy. He hasn't done anything yet. And the match they had was, that was my favorite match under the main event. It was really well done. Great storytelling, unbelievable spots. They sold like a motherfucker, you know. They did what wrestling is, and then going into the ending, and I swear to you, I thought something's off with Dominic here, and he wasn't any different than he ever is. You know, I don't know if it was maybe the Mysterio t-shirt and everybody else looked like a main event performer. You know what I'm saying? You look at Judgment Day, that's outfits, work, look, and just superstars. Rey comes out in something that's, Rey's had the greatest outfits of all time.
Yeah.
You know? And Edge as too. And Dom was wearing a t-shirt with a ripped thing. I know that's part of his gimmick, but I just felt something. And then it got to the end of the match. I guess nothing's going to happen. And then he caught me with the friggin' kick to the balls to Edge, and then race on, and then he friggin' clotheslined him with a beautiful clothesline, and then he walked off, and I thought, that was really good.
I think it'll be the thing people talk about most from this show. I mean, it's such a star-studded show, but I think storyline-wise, the thing that will have the longest-lasting implication here is probably Dominic's turn. And for a long time, the positioning had been Rey and his son. And you want to talk about casting a big shadow. You know, there's a handful of really, really big shadows that I think would just be almost impossible to overcome. One being Ric Flair. Somehow Charlotte's managed to carve out her own voice.
But I think
when you see that pairing at first, a few years ago, we first saw Dominic, I think a lot of people were like, well, he's not going to be able to be Rey Mysterio. No shit. There's only ever going to be one Rey Mysterio.
That's it.
He's got to be able to carve out his own thing. And as long as they were together, he was always going to be Rey's son. And you couldn't help but draw comparisons and all that. But now they can tell a real story. And, and would anybody want to make his son look better than Rey Mysterio? They're going to have a phenomenal feud, some great storytelling. Going back to when he was a kid with Eddie way back when, this is going to be WWE at their best here with what they do with Rey and Dominic, I think.
Yeah, I got to meet Dom at Rick's last match. You know, he was there with Rey, and he was super, what a great kid. What a great kid. And Rey, I got to tell you, you might have heard me tell you the story before. I might have just told it with John Alba. But I got to say, for people who never heard it before, when in 92, 91, I guess 91 is when I started as a wrestler, 92, you know, I'm going to be the Rookie of the Year. I know with Pro Wrestling Illustrated. There's no one else who came up. I have to be. And then Eric Watts won it because he came in October and he beat Arn Anderson and he beat a bunch of people. Watts is one of my closest friends, but I became the runner-up of the year. And I thought, you know what? Meltzer, he's not my biggest fan, but he's got to see this. I've got to be the Rookie of the Year. Again, I'm number two. I'm like, who the fuck is Rey Mysterio?
Yeah.
I, at the time, I'm 36, Rey's 14. All right. So maybe he's 15. I kind of forget about it years later. And then I hear someone talking about, because Rey Mysterio's here. Rey Mysterio just headed out to the ring. I'm like, Rey Mysterio? I go right to the gorilla spot. I watched that match and I went, wow. I was a very distant number two. That kid, you know, at that time, I want to say he was like, maybe he was 17 or 18, but I just couldn't believe how great he was then. You know, the stuff that he could do. I honestly believe that Rey Mysterio would be an Olympic champion if he would have done gymnastics. You know, I mean, he was just one of the, and his body, I've seen some of the unbelievable bumps that he's taken. I'm talking about outside of the ring, flipping through, bouncing off the guy and hitting a guardrail, from 15 feet and 20 feet in the air and still going. I don't know how he's doing it. Still at this level. I loved, what are some of my high spots that match where I loved, Edge doing the 619. I got a big kick out of that. And Rey coming over the top on Rhea. And, that was that match was a lot of fun. It was a lot of excitement. Everybody was involved. It was really, really, really well done. But what was even better was Dominic. And Ed sold like a madman for him, and Rey, you know, looking forward to see what they do tonight, you know, with that whole thing. To me, and there's so many ways you can go with it.
Everybody talks about how young Dominic is, and they're correct. He's only 25 and now in a big time spot. I want to mention, because I feel like nobody talks about it enough, Rhea Ripley's only 25 as well. Mm-hmm. Rhea Ripley is as big of a star with as big time of a look as she has right now at just 25. The sky's the limit for her. And I know that, you know, whether you think about it or not that way, a lot of people are going to hear what you said and say, man, she reminds me a lot of China. And they're going to rush to say, well, she's not as big of a star as China yet. Give it time.
Oh God.
She's 25 years old.
China in the beginning.
Yes.
Cause, and she had that same presence when she got there and she was working before she was ever in Judgment Day. She had that presence in NXT. She wasn't as big, but she don't need to be, you know, she just has it.
When I think the first time we saw China, she was like 27, 28 years old. And here we have Rhea Ripley, who looks like she does, performs in the ring like she does, has the presence that she does at just 25 years old. Like if these were stocks, I would buy as much Rhea Ripley stock as I could.
That's a great analogy. No, 100%. Yeah, she's gonna be a big star. I think, you know, all these. I think that Damien has countless potential.
Oh yeah,
like I mean, he could be the man. Yeah, I honestly believe that down the line he has the ability to be that guy. And I'm really interested to see where Finn comes out of this, because he is a phenomenal worker, storyteller, can take the big crazy bumps, but sells like a son of a bitch when he needs to, you know.
Let's talk about the next match, because boy, there was a lot of heat going into this one. Seth freaking Rollins is going to pick up a win over Matt Riddle. Riddle has gotten a first name back, and boy, the build of this got some edge back into the WWE. They took a real life circumstance of Matt Riddle's marriage ending and put it on TV, and, you know, had a little bit of a work shoot fight, I guess, whatever you want to call it, out in the parking lot, right, tried to make it feel real. And this felt like a big time match. I was happy with the positioning of it being right before the main event. They gave him plenty of time, 17 minutes and 22 seconds. A few years ago, it was almost unanimous. People agreed Seth Rollins was the best wrestler in the world. And I think people have been waiting on Riddle to be in this spot. He is oh so close to that main event spot, but now he has it ripped out again. Seth Rollins picks up the win. What'd you think of the match? And what'd you think of the story to get here?
First of all, I thought Seth Rollins, he needed that win just because he needs to, you know, he can't put everybody over, you know, and he's put so many people over. I thought it was a great match. I thought the storytelling was great. I thought they did a lot of really great spots. yet they took their time with everything. Like, Rollins is a, you know, another straight edge dude, man. You know, he can take some punishment, man. First of all, go to the entrances, because I really, like, what I didn't understand what they were doing with Seth in the beginning when they were having him do all these different characters. Remember, before he leveled into this, who he is today, on the way there, it was confusing, but I knew how good he was. I was doing something with Russo on the show that we always did in the doctor. Back then I've said, I'm confused by what they're doing with him, but talent will always rise to the top. And Seth, once he started to really run with this character, I'm amazed that it's very macho in the way that Mach would have a different elaborate outfit every match. And that's the only part of Mach I'm taking that it's likeness from. Every match, every entrance, every interview, he's in some new, crazy, amazing outfit that makes him pop. You know, and makes him different. It's always like there's better than and there's less than. And Bischoff's the first one ever says to me, whoever's the best, no one's better than him. Everyone after that is less than, unless you're different than. And Seth Rollins, from the laugh to the music to the clothing, the outfits, I mean, he's different than anybody has ever been. Mach was like that, you know, and how many outfits did Mach have out there? Like, one of the things that you never really think about this today, guys maybe do, but I never did. If I would have, had a different outfit every single night, because just like Seth's doing, because those outfits in the world of collectors, and, you know, being a collector, his wardrobe that might have cost him $100,000 is worth probably $2 million.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Put a signature on that, and it's like, there's your retirement, bro. And I had so many, but I didn't take care of them the way I should have. But that, just his entrance and getting, like, he's a heel and he's playing the heel. He's not trying to get the people to cheer for him. He's being the heel. But when that son of a bitch turns babyface again, he's going to be crazy over. Like so much bigger than he was before. And it's because he's reinvented himself and his work. You know, you always look at guys as they get older, the work gets a little bit less, a little bit less, a little bit less. His work's at an all-time high. And to go out there and I hear shoot work with him and Riddle. They went out there and they worked a hell of a match. And they had a lot of great spots and stuff you don't see over and over again. You know, stuff that was new and different, and they had the people in the palm of their hand.
Talk to me a little bit about Riddle. Like, what do you think his upside is going to be? Do you think, I mean, a lot of folks view him as maybe a polarizing figure, and we know that he wasn't without he wasn't without controversy. I mean, he was a huge UFC star, or could have been, but his inability to pass the drug test, he has not a traditional substance issue. He's a big marijuana fan, which at the time,
that which was, is legal now.
The world has changed. So I'm just curious, what's your experience with him been, and what do you think his upside is with the new regime? With Vince out and Hunter in the spot, he obviously pushed him in NXT too. What do you think?
The first time I ever saw him, I was at NXT, watched his match, and he was out in the parking lot, and I walked up to him. I said, dude, you got a hell of a future coming your way, man. And the people dig him, you know? Everybody knows he's a shoot badass, you know, and that comes with an element of respect. On a side note, I never understood how Kerry Von Erich could do the bare feet. I don't see how he can do it. He must have the toughest feet on the planet, because you're just safer in boots. Your body's safer, but he has a punishment threshold. That's intense. I love the stuff that he did with Randy. You know, it was a lot of fun, you know, to watch. And Randy gave him a huge rub. And I think he's got to grow a little bit more. But I think he has all the potential that he could be the fucking guy, you know, because he's believing could be the guy, you know, and you never know how that'll play out. But he's believable. I think guys want to party with him, and I think chicks want to be with him. And that's called the it factor.
Yes.
You know, and, you know, Rollins has the same thing, you know, and the guys who are at the top, Drew McIntyre has the same thing. You know, he doesn't drink anymore, but bottom line is, you know, you just go in and just hang with him, have a hamburger, whatever. I think, yeah, he can be, he's done some things that are different. Like the stuff he did with Goldberg, that was kind of different to me. Like, I don't know about that, but, overall, you know, I liked him from the minute I saw him down there. And then I say, okay, how much has he improved since then? A lot. Like, he's gotten much better. And that means he's putting the work in and he's taking care of himself, but he stays in phenomenal shape. So, you know, I think that, you know, he's got a future from what my feeling, the way Paul Levesque, Triple H, the way he thinks is, are you believable? Like you know, Triple H is believable. Undertaker's believable. Stone Cold Steve Austin, believable. You know, like, who's believable now that can put the asses in the seats? Drew McIntyre, believable. Roman Reigns, believable. You know, it's like, that's the guy you want. Brock Lesnar. Believable. You know? So, yeah, I think that has so much to do with it. But I love a lot of the little spots that the guys did in there. And, you know, like I say, Riddle's a hell of an athlete as well, you know, and so is Rollins.
The main event we haven't talked about, but I feel like we're going to disagree. It's Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. They get more time than anybody else. It's for the undisputed WWE championship. They went 30 minutes and 47 seconds. Roman Reigns, on his way to this show, passed his 2-year anniversary. That's right, 2 years consecutively with the title. That puts him almost in that Hogan Bruno type conversation as far as in the modern day, the belt normally moves around. It didn't move around for 2 years, and it didn't move around over in Cardiff. Roman Reigns gets his hand raised. We also saw a new debut. The Usos' younger brother reveals himself to also be a part of the bloodline now and essentially cost Drew the title. I'm curious what you thought.
I didn't see that coming. I didn't see him coming because that's a long way to run. So he must have been under the ring.
Yes.
You know, so, and that's a tough spot to be in because unless they push something out there and let someone slide under, but I don't see how they would have done that in between that time. So that means he sat under there for a long time and he was right on time. So go ahead, keep going.
Well, I'm just curious what you think of the decision. Like, there was so much hype around. First of all, let me say this. I think Roman Reigns is the biggest star in wrestling right now. I don't think that can even really be debated. He's the guy. Just like there was a John Cena era, we're in the Roman Reigns era.
Sure.
But based on all the news we're hearing, it feels as if his now reduced schedule or the new terms of his contract, which we don't know specifics, but we have an idea that maybe he's going to be more of a special attraction. Maybe he'll be a little bit more Brock Lesnar like in his work schedule. I felt like knowing that information, but also seeing what this opportunity was for Drew. I should just announce right now, I'm a huge mark for Drew. He's supported our podcast with mine and Bruce from way back when, even before he was back in the company, and it's just proven to be a really, really good guy. And boy, what a great story he's got. And it just felt like he was robbed of his WrestleMania moment. When he won the world title, it happened, you know, in front of no fans. And I could see how that would not be what anyone would dream of for their big WrestleMania moment. But yet that's the way it went down. And then fast forward. And now it's like, all right, well, this is why we waited. We're going to have this huge event. And of course they framed it as he was coming home and he's not really from there, but damn it, it was close enough. I expected SummerSlam 92 all over again. And I would even challenge, and Dallas, I don't even know that obviously you were in the business in 92, but I don't know that you were able to process what that meant to those fans at that time. Like to be a 10 or 12 year old kid where wrestling is your whole freaking life. And now your guy, the British Bulldog, was in the main event and he won the belt, even if it was the Intercontinental title, it was a major, major moment. To the point where when I've gone over with Bruce or JR or anybody and we do live shows, the first question we get, and we get a ton of questions about it, is SummerSlam 92, because that title change meant so much to the freaking continent. It was a big, big deal. So I just thought, well, this is it. They're going to have to, you know, you built up this unbeatable Roman Reigns character for years. We got to pay it off somewhere. And who better than the guy who had his WrestleMania moment sort of taken away during the pandemic right here in his quote unquote hometown. I know it's not, but that felt like the perfect storybook ending, but we didn't get it. And I, as a result, I was disappointed. What say you?
Well, I never really get disappointed. Drew's my guy. Mm-hmm. You know, Drew and I go back to when wasn't the chosen one. He had fallen down that ladder. Mm-hmm. And that's when we started talking and, you know, started getting, doing a program, getting, doing DDPY and helping him. And then he got let go. And I want to say it was Triple H who let him go, you know, knowing that this has got to be something to put a fire up your ass. And then he went out and he found Drew Galloway, you know, and I don't know why the hell they just didn't use his name like they used others like Chris Benoit or Eddie Guerrero. You know, Galloway was just as good. And that he just took over everything at a time when the independent scene was really growing. And then he went to NXT. And, you know, that's Triple H's baby, mm-hmm. You know, and when he came out there and Drew got the beat, Drew McIntyre or Drew Galloway, he made a serious name for himself. And like, I'm coming. And I'm coming back with a vengeance. And then he friggin' got up there, and then he had the bicep tear. And then, you know, again, we were talking. And I said, when you get done doing what you're doing, you know, going through the rehab, I want you to come up and spend, you know, a day or so with me. He drove 7.5 hours to spend to work out with me privately, do a class with 40 people, watch the first cut of Relentless. It was our first cut. Wasn't nowhere near ready. Then drove back to Tampa. 7.5 hours. Like, this guy had work ethic I've never seen. And would come to see me over a period of time getting back. And, you know, we shot some interviews and talk. And this is a cat who really, really is he's the next guy to me. He's the next guy. And I really thought this was going to be it. But I never look at it like, you got to look at the positive no matter what. And I know, because if you look at guys who were really, really over, they did a lot of jobs. My partner, Jake Snake Roberts, Scott Hall, Diamond Dallas Page, they all did a lot of jobs. And never hurt them. That match that they had, I know that they would it would have been jubilation. The place would have went crazy, total jubilee. They would have friggin' blown it all out if he would have won. But let's go back to how long it took turning Roman from babyface to heel, and when he became that heel man. And then the whole wise man thing. And I mean, the Uso brothers to me are two of the coolest fucks on the planet now. You know, I've been watching them for years. They've continually reinvented themselves. But these cats have found, I mean, they're as cool a tag team in characters as there is in professional wrestling, period. And I love that now we're back to all being professional wrestlers. Because, yes, you win in WWE, you're a fucking superstar. You're an AEW, you're a superstar, but you're a wrestler. A number one first. But it takes a wrestler who's running the show to say, you're a fucking wrestler, you know? And I love that's back. But I would have loved to see Drew. I would have thought it would have been amazing. But I also know when you take it away and you take it away and you take it away. And it's not like he got beat by some jabroni. He got beat by the man.
Yes.
You know, the guy who's held the strap for, and he got, and he lost the right way. He didn't get beat clean in the middle.
Right.
You know, so it's all how you end up doing the job, you know, and what you do after that. So Drew will be coming right back at it, man. He'll be coming right back at it. I'll be, like, again, I'm real interested to, you know, watch tonight. Or should say, we're filming this on Monday. So by Tuesday, and this is aired, I'll already know. But I'll be real interested to see what they do with that. I think there's a reason for it. And part of the reason may not have even had anything to do with this, but everybody thought Drew was going to win.
Yeah.
And in professional wrestling, just when you think you know, you don't. And there was a reason for it. It wasn't just to burn him out. I would have put him over.
Yep, me too.
If I was booking, you know, because again, I don't understand why it took 30 years to go back there. That's always been a humongous hotbed market for the WWE.
I agree.
You know, so I don't understand why it took so long, but I'm, you know, when I watched that match, you got to remember the match they just came off of. You got to remember the angle that was just shot that is probably the biggest thing they talk about from this pay-per-view was right before they came out.
Mm-hmm.
So they started out with lockups, which was brilliant because that's old school wrestling.
Yeah, they went like way this, slow. Yeah.
That match could have been in the 70s.
Yes.
The 80s, the 90s. I mean, that match, you could plop out pretty much anywhere and plop it in because there's great heat coming into it. Drew had the whole crowd there. Roman's out there by himself, you think. And then they go into this match that they built to get to that spot. And they sold. And there's five times you thought that match was over.
Yes.
If you're a fan, you bought five of those false finishes. And that's great storytelling. And I'll tell you what I told Drew. Because, I mean, you're going to win at WrestleMania. And there's no people there. I'm going to ask you. You are a wrestling historian. Who won the world title at WrestleMania 27?
I don't remember.
32. Who won at 32?
I don't remember.
You're not going to remember any of them.
Yeah.
You know who you're going to remember? The guy who won during COVID.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how I explained it to him. I'm like, bro, ain't nobody going to forget that. And you know what? You did hold the strap. And you will be back. It just got to go back to get your turn. But he's never left this section. Like, there's the bottom. There's the bottom of the top, or say top of the bottom. Then there's the bottom of the middle, then the middle. Then there's the top of the middle. Then there's the bottom of the top. And then there's the middle of the top. Then there's the top. He's never left there.
Right.
He might have come down for a match here, but he's right back there. Match here, he's right back here. It's the golden place to be because he's been there for, God, coming up on 3 years now. And who's he lost to consistently? Roman.
Yeah.
When he finally does beat him, I don't care if they're in Timbuktu. The place is going to go batshit crazy.
Let's mention some other stuff that happened interesting in the match. We saw Karrion Kross and his lovely bride, Scarlett, sitting right beside him. I'm so happy to see them back. I thought it was a cool placement to have them involved here. I love the attempted cash in by Austin Theory and the great use of Tyson Fury. Like, that is exactly how you should use a boxer in wrestling. Just phenomenal. And then you did debut a new great character who now all of a sudden is instantly in a big time spot in Solo Sikoa. So I'm happy with the way it all came to be. If it wasn't going to be with Drew getting his hand raised, but I do feel like the way fans look back with such rose colored glasses about SummerSlam 92, I don't think they'll look back at this event the same way. Instead of getting this monumental, major needle moving moment for wrestling history, they got a great show, but they didn't get, it just feels, I don't know. And I saw a lot of fans online even compare it to SummerSlam 93, where we thought we were going to have our all American Lex Luger dethrone this evil Japanese character, Yokozuna, and he won, but he won by DQ, so he didn't win the belt. So it just was hollow. And right. I'm
that was bad. That was bad booking there.
Well, and it's because we never really went anywhere with Lex. So yes, Lex did get another title opportunity at the next WrestleMania, WrestleMania 10, but he didn't get there. And I hope that doesn't happen with Drew, and I don't think it will. But I am curious, you know, because the other side of the coin is, all right, whoever does end this multiple year reign now of Roman Reigns is an even bigger star. So if not Drew, who? And a lot of people think it's going to be Rock and Roman at WrestleMania. I don't think Rock needs that title. I don't think that match needs that title. So if you're going to do something else, do you split it and have two title matches, one each night? Do you keep it all together? And maybe the first night of WrestleMania is for the title and the second night is Rock Roman. That would make sense. But who's going to be the guy to take it off of Roman? Will it be The Rock? I don't think that's necessary. Will it be Drew somewhere else? I would think that's silly. Like, if you're going to do it with Drew, do it here. And the only other person I can come up with, and we're going to sound like homers because we probably both agree, it's got to be Cody Rhodes, right?
Yeah, I hope so. But you know what? It's you never know in this game. We're so far out from there. Anything can happen.
Yes.
I would love to see Cody in that spot because that's the whole spot he came back for.
Yes.
You know, and if he didn't get that friggin' injury, which he did, it kind of helps. And, you know, got to come back in again, you know, and work your way into that spot. And it's so hard to really pick this far out.
I agree.
I think no matter what, do they keep it? It's still being one title because now one guy's got both. You know, how do they? They've gotten away from that a couple of times. Jericho is the very first guy to win both, you know? So it's how do they get out of that? And it's going to be interesting. It's going to be, it's going to take work. But, you know, like I say, I love the way Triple H. He's the guy in charge, right?
Yeah.
Hold six matches with their crew. That's all you needed. When you got people who go like that, let them tell stories. Don't try to fit 10 pounds of shit into a 2-pound bag, you know, and stuff gets lost. I thought the pay-per-view was great, top to bottom. Would love. I thought Drew was going to go over. I think everybody did. And I think maybe that's why they swung it back. I think they need to go back to the UK and do something again there, like every year, something, at least every other year, because those fans are ravenous. We'll see, man. It's a long way out, and you know what I want to do is start being more on top of what's happening in wrestling with me and Jake, with DDP Snake Pit. I think we've covered a bunch of stuff and we'll still do some evergreen stuff, you know, where we throw up a show about Sting or, you know, whoever. But I want to really start to pay attention to more what's happening in wrestling. And the AEW, they had a hell of a card last night and a lot of reasons to talk about that.
I can't let you get out here without at least asking. I'm sure as you and I are recording this, it's the morning after, but buddy, the entire world is talking about CM Punk's press conference. I know, you know, it's something that's close to you because you got a lot of friends in AEW, just like I do, but it does feel like there are a lot of similarities between the backstage drama that we're reading about because I'm not there and you're not there. So we're just reading about it. We have no inside knowledge about anything. We're here. You're in Atlanta. I'm in Huntsville. We're not there. So I just want to frame that properly, but a lot of people are saying there's a lot of infighting, a lot of politics, a lot of cliques, what have you. And some of this starts to sound a little bit like stuff I heard as a fan was going on in WCW. What do you make of all the backstage turmoil? Some people would say, hey, guys fighting for positions and we're trying to sell pay-per-views and feuds and, you know, fans want to believe it might actually be a net positive. I've never been in that environment. You have allegedly a WCW could be pretty tension filled at times. What do you make of this?
I think that Rome, the politics of Rome, has nothing on professional wrestling. And just because they kept it out those first couple of years, it is inevitable because certain guys are getting paid way more than other guys. And this guy might have the most talent of any upcoming upstart, but these guys get paid a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, and you can just put in whatever name you want. Bottom line is it's the same in every league. You know, now you go down to Impact or, you know, the guy would even say ROH because that's owned by Tony Khan too. But, you know, Impact or and NWA, the scales of money are much different. but it's still the same. Some guys get paid way more than other guys who are down here. It is so hard to come up and have a hell of a run starting in the beginning if you don't look like Bill Goldberg. It's so hard. But the best advice I can give every young guy out there, build relationships. I'm not talking about who you know or who knows you. I'm talking about who you build a real relationship, not kissing their ass, being their real friend, being there when they, you know, just being there. And like, that's this guy right here. The American Dream, Dusty Rhodes. I don't have a career without him. But he's also the same guy that never believed in me as a wrestler in the beginning. You know, he thought I was crazy. But Jake did. And there's another guy that believed in me, that put their name on the line for me. Dusty put their name, his name on the line for me. And one of the coolest things that happened was I was, you know, you got to go away sometimes to come back. And that's what Cody did. He left, walked away from, I'm guessing, $500,000, because that was around the spot.
Oh, it was, he more was than in that. It was more than that.
Back when he left originally, mm-hmm, and went to the independent world. He made more money that independent than he had ever made ever. But he's working 5-6 nights a week all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that came All In and AEW and blah, blah, blah. And personally, I don't think they really appreciated him the way they should have. I know the fans didn't, because mm-hmm, I couldn't believe the guy who made all this happen, and he's the guy that made it happen, how they turned on him. After he took Darby to 20-minute, you know, 20-minute Broadway. Darby, you heard him last week. He didn't even know what a Broadway was. You know, and put Max over, and, you know, and put over, you know, put over so many guys. It didn't make any sense. But then he got to go back and then come in there with the fans loving him and missing him and wanting him back. And they watched what he did and they appreciated, they wanted him back. And then for the matches that him and Seth Rollins had was just unbelievable. But there's a guy who's had a pedigree better than anybody, mm-hmm, the American Dreams kid. And he couldn't get past this mid ground. When he was younger, he was up a little bit higher with Orton and those guys, but he came right back down and he was never going to go up higher. He had to leave. My point is that sometimes, well, all the time, it's so hard to get up that pecking order in a world where if it's me and you and we have a match and you're going over, I just can't knock you out in the middle of it. We're actors.
Yeah.
But we're physical storytellers and we beat up our bodies for this art that's called professional wrestling. It's so hard. So the politics start, and then it becomes even harder. If you remember, when AEW started, they don't have the same crew they do now. And a lot of those guys, anybody is welcome here. Yeah. I don't see a lot of those people there anymore.
Right.
So, you know, bottom line is, it's wrestling, and the big and the bad and the people who know how to be political and have the look, the work, the rap, you know, are going to have the best chances. But that political thing is inevitable. That's, you know, it's part of what is wrestling day one. And where it is today, it's just part of the show, man.
And we hope you guys are enjoying what we're doing here on the show. Hit the subscribe button. Tell your friends all about DDP Snake Pit. Leave us a 5-star review if you think we've earned it. And if you're watching on YouTube, please hit that subscribe button, that notifications bell, throw us a thumbs up. Just interact with us. It helps the algorithm. And we appreciate the time today. And Dallas, I'm looking forward to it, man. Me and you back together again next week right here on DDP Snake Pit.